Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is. Oh, we had CW for a moment. She disappeared. Good evening and welcome. Look at this. We have a snow weekend. And just like that, zip, zap, poof, what does Northeast Ohio get but a light dusting of the stuff? Good evening.
Did you?
And welcome to Erie House Radio. I be Dale K from Spook Show. Here along with
I be Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And here with
it's snowing robots, but I can't find mine. It is I, Gar the Ghoul, blay blay at you all.
And welcome one and all to another fine evening that isn't a sad day, oddly. Here we are on a Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Makes you want to go to
bring
the racetrack here. That's right. And as we finish up a weekend of snow.
Mm.
It's really blowing tonight. Good thing the radio doesn't. But it's Blizzard O' Terror. The Irish version, Blizzard O'Terror, from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, CW's back.
She's back. Here we go. Welcome back.
Hello, I'm here and there and back again.
Did you slip on the
There
boat?
You are.
You know, one big snowbank and you just disappear and had to swim my way out, and there I am again, and here I am again, so here I am.
Welcome back.
Do you have a lot of experience with snow where you're at, CW?
Actually, it came and came down hard. Now it's melting again. So it's going back and forth.
I don't know about your side, Northeast Ohio, Dave, but we had a light dusting that pretty much stayed on the ground all day.
I did too, yeah. We had the light dusting.
We got
rain.
And
I was glad. Because it's just enough to keep a puppy's muddy feet from staying muddy on his way back into the house.
I feel like Charlie Brown and that he got a rock. I got rain. That's like, you know.
We'll trade you weather.
Oh, I found him. I found my robot.
See, he was hiding from you because you called him ugly.
Yeah. Well,
was that you literally with the image with the Dark Shadows game? Is that really you?
No. No, no,
that's a disappointment. I thought it was you too.
I have no idea. What, you mean up in our slideshow?
Our personal chat, Gar shared a picture of a kid with a Dark Shadows thingy,
okay.
and CW and I both apparently thought it was actually Gar. But he's running around with pictures of other people's kids. I don't know.
The facial pallor was all wrong. That should have been a clue.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't have a beard either.
That's right. Right. I came out of the womb with one. You know. Much to the discomfort of certain people. But you know.
Well, that part of the story is now over.
I got a note, Gar. Did you tickle,
thought you'd
did
tickle,
you tickle
our fancy
on the way out?
With that one, huh? All right.
I'm not saying nothing. Blay, I'll say that.
Bad man. You're a bad man, but we have good radio.
Yeah. Yeah, it was due to that. I didn't know which end to smack.
So he smacked your mother. I was born and I was so
they did.
Smacked my mother. Yes.
Then they looked at me and they smacked her again. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, hi, Fogs. How are you doing?
Hello, Fogs. Oh, there it is. Dale,
just
had the same key interrupt as you did. I couldn't find a place to put the key. Now I found it.
Yep, we got E.G. Marshall coming back tonight with Blizzard O'Terror.
Is he going to say macabre?
I hope so.
He does.
I hope
every
not.
Day.
I would love it if he said Macabre. I still say it's Macabre.
Every end of every
Macarena.
Macabre. He calls it Macabre.
Macabre.
That guy is uncouth.
No. He is the epitome of couth.
Yes.
Yes.
You will never see E.G. Marshall in couthlessness.
Yeah.
That's right.
At no time will his couth ever leave his body. I get it.
Yeah.
He's swimming in couth.
That's right. Ooh, the suspense.
A little mood music just to keep you in suspense.
Yeah.
Oh, that oboe. That's a soulful instrument.
It is. You know what's crazy about the CBS Radio Mystery Theater? The intro is so simple, but it's so creepy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just a few different instruments, and there's not a whole lot of notes, but it gets you, you know.
And that came from the CBS stock music, which was actually written for episodes of The Twilight Zone.
That's insane.
Insanely good.
But this here is from one of Dale's favorites. This was originally composed by Bernard Herrmann.
Yay! Oh, I'm going to love it already.
Who was the ghostwriter? He was the ghostwriter for Ernest Borgnine.
No, he was a musical conductor. For film, for lots of films. He did a lot of the Ray Harryhausen movies, Gar. The old 1950s Journey to the Center of the Earth, he did that score. He did the score for The Day the Earth Stood Still, and also Psycho.
Oh, wow.
And Kill Bill.
Really mean. You mean...
Oh, no.
Yep. He also he worked on at least 8 different Hitchcock films.
Yes, that's true, too. He was one of my favorite movie music guys, Bernard, and he's doing the music for Blizzard of Terror. You all right there?
I'm dying over here because I just found out a way to make my ugly robot less ugly, and the answer lies in googly eyes.
No.
Yeah, I'm putting googly eyes on my robot.
Gar, we discussed this. We discussed this at length. There's no such thing as an ugly robot.
Especially with googly eyes.
Putting googly eyes on robots will put you in robot heck if you're not careful.
I'm doing it right now.
Are they googly eyes? That's the question. Now, there's a question.
Yeah, I have a whole army of googly eyes, adhesive googly eyes, and...
Why am I not surprised?
Well, you know, hey, you do what you can.
Some people stocked up on toilet paper during the pandemic. He stocked up on googly eyes.
That's right. Although,
yep.
Not for the same reason. Definitely. You shouldn't wipe with googly eyes. Yeah.
I hope not.
Oh, he looks...
Keep an eye out
more.
For you. Here. I'm sorry.
He looks diabolical with the googly eyes. Oh, I'm going to take a picture.
Well. Enough robot talk. Let's get on with the Blizzard O' Terror.
Back to the Blizzard.
Radio Mystery
Indeed.
Theater.
Oh. We're going to search for a tranquilizer for Gar.
Yeah. Somebody slap the coffee right out of his hand, please, while we
talk. And take those googly eyes away from him.
Oh,
that's right. Who knows where he'll arrange them? Do we have a broadcast date for this, Jewel?
We do. I was 9 years old living in Botswana, South Africa. You know why? I wanted to be close to the bat. It was February 18th, 1974.
I agree. AIXI time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Thank you.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Have you ever known terror? Have you ever come up against something that so threatened you, so horrified you, that it stopped your heart for a moment? If you never have, count yourself lucky. But don't count on your luck too much. After all, who's to say that terror may never touch you? Huh? Consider Helen and Jim Crane. They never thought it would ever touch them.
Blood. Jim, there's blood all over. And the axe. Did you see the axe?
Come on, let's get out of here.
The blizzard. We can't...
We can't stay here either. There must have been a terrible fight in that kitchen, and I'm not waiting for the winner to come back.
You don't suppose...
What?
The murderer? The murderer the police are looking for. The man who slaughtered the Grant family. He said he was holed up somewhere on the mountain. This cabin, maybe? You don't think...
All I think is that we'd better get out of here.
Mystery drama, Blizzard of Terror, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Lois Smith. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Hal Linden. There's a lot of talk these days about America's energy crisis. Talk about doing without heat, about doing without our cars, about what's going to happen if we run out of fuel. Well, we may not have to run out of fuel if we all work together to conserve the fuel we have. That means turning your thermostats down to 68 degrees during the day and turning them down to 60 at night. It means turning off lights, TV sets, and electrical appliances the minute we're finished with them. It means driving no faster than 50, starting or joining carpools, avoiding the kind of stop-and-go motoring that eats up gas by the gallon. In short, it means saving every ounce of energy we can, every chance we get. So please, do your part to make the fuel supply stretch a little further. For your own sake, don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't be fuelish.
This message from the Federal Energy Office and the Advertising Council.
Dare you join me now in a blizzard of terror? Not so fast, not so quick to answer yes. Are your nerves in shape for what lies ahead? Have you promised yourself a good night's sleep? A promise you want to keep? In simple brief, are you who now listen to my voice ready to cope with terror? Very well. You made the choice, not I. Come along, then. Well, come on.
That China will form no coalition with Russia in the foreseeable future. That's the world news. Now I have a special bulletin from the big Indian sheriff's office.
Jim, turn the radio off.
Sheriff Ed Ralston warns all motorists to stay off the roads on Thunder Mountain. Not only because of the blizzard, but also because the man sought for the brutal murder of the Grant family is believed to be hiding out somewhere on
Jim,
the mountain.
Please shut it off.
All of them. With a kitchen carving knife. The Grant family...
Thank you, Mr. Crane.
You're welcome, Mrs. Crane.
We don't need to be told again and again that we're in a blizzard on Thunder Mountain. We know we are, thanks to you. I'm sorry.
It's okay, skip it. Maybe it is my fault. I can't see the road. All I can see is snow.
What's that?
What's what?
There, just ahead, back under the trees. A cabin?
So?
We better stop.
Oh, no, no way.
Jim.
We're just managing to make it up this grade now. If we stop, we'll never get started
again. If we keep going, we're sure to get stuck. Those snowdrifts out there are getting worse.
Yeah, I know,
we'd be safer in that cabin.
We could freeze to death.
Jim, please, for once, listen to reason.
Okay, you win. You always do.
Don't stop here.
Well, you just said...
But not here. The cabin's over there.
If we drive in there, we will get stuck.
You really are going to have to get new glasses. Can't you see the road?
Oh, yeah. Tire tracks. Snowed over, but tracks.
Those tire tracks, they mean somebody's there. Yes. Look. Smoke's coming out of the chimney. Ah, now, are you glad we turned in?
I'm swooning with delight.
You're angry because I was right.
When are you wrong? When are you ever wrong?
Oh, you are something. You are. You are really... Why do we quarrel like this, fly at each other every time?
Well, maybe if you weren't so darned independent. Forget it. Okay, come on. Let's get inside. Fast. Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hello?
Just open the door and go in.
Well, I don't like to just barge in.
Jim, under the circumstances, if you won't, I will. Hello? Anyone here? Hello?
There must be somebody here. There's a fire smoldering in the fireplace. Here, look, there's a pipe in this ashtray. The tray is full of pipe ashes.
Yeah. Oh, here's a coffee cup, half full.
Uh-huh.
There's a book open on the table. Huh. Jung's Psychology of the Unconscious. Whoever owns this place must be a brain. Hello? Anyone here? Hello?
Helen, don't do that. You've got no right to go nosing around.
Bedroom. Nobody in it. Must be the kitchen behind that door.
Helen.
Yes?
Let's just sit down and just wait for whoever owns this place to come back, huh?
I just want...
You've got no right, Helen. Now, the owner of this place must be the kind of person who wouldn't like people nosing around.
Oh, now,
I'm telling
really?
You. Just look at it. This isn't just a cabin. It's a kind of lodge. Here, that wall lined with books. There, a hi-fi. Stacks of records, all classical. And those paintings on the walls. Helen, please.
I want a cup of coffee, and if this door leads to the kitchen...
She just won't listen. Just won't ever listen. Well, what are you standing there for? Now that you've opened the door, go on in.
Oh, good Lord.
What is it?
Oh... Jim. Oh, Jim.
Helen, what is it?
The kitchen. Oh, the kitchen.
Here. Helen, here. You better sit down. You look like you're going to faint. Now, you just sit there. I'll have a look. Oh, no. Oh, Helen, come on now. We better get out of here.
My God. Oh, Jim. Blood all over. And the axe. Did you see the axe?
Yeah, it's the first thing I saw. Come on.
Blizzard. We can't
stay here. There must have been some hell of a fight in that kitchen, and I'm not waiting for the winner to come back.
Oh, you don't suppose...
What?
The murderer. The murderer they're looking for, that man who slaughtered the Grant family. They said he was holed up somewhere on the mountain.
Helen, I don't know, and we're not going to hang around to find out. Now, come on, let's get out of here. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Jim Crane. This is my wife, Helen. We got caught in a blizzard, and we saw your cabin, and we just came in.
We were over at Big Mountain for a skiing weekend, and we started back too late, thanks to my husband.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess it was my fault. You see, I don't ski. My wife does, but I don't. And, well, I got into this poker game, and I was winning, and I couldn't quit when I was ahead. You know how it is?
You don't have to make any excuses to me, friend. Maybe to her, but not to me.
Well, I was just explaining.
Like ice in here. Better get that fire going again.
You needn't bother on our account.
I'm not.
Well, what I meant was we were just leaving.
Not in that blizzard, you're not, Mrs. Crane.
It's Miss Morgan, if you don't mind.
I thought you said she's your wife.
Well, she keeps her maiden name.
You kidding?
No,
You'll marry a doll and give her your name and she won't use it? What's the matter, Ms. Morgan, you said, eh? What's the matter? Your husband's name isn't good enough for you?
It isn't that.
Then what is it?
I prefer to keep my own name, that's all. A lot of women do these days.
Yeah, they call it women's lib.
Women's what?
Lib, for liberation. You know, they keep their names, their independence, their jobs, everything.
Everything, eh? That's too bad. You were my wife, Dodd. You wouldn't keep your name or your job or anything. What do you do besides letting her get away with all this?
Engineer. I'm an engineer.
You drive a train?
Oh, no. Not that kind of engineer. Hydraulic engineer. Water power.
Oh. Cigarette?
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
You?
I don't smoke either. And I thought you...
Huh?
Nothing.
You thought I what?
Well, I noticed the pipe in the ashtray, so...
Yes, I do smoke a pipe now and then. Cigarettes, too.
You haven't told us your name.
Jake.
Jake what?
Jake's enough. We need more wood. I'll get it.
Let's get out of here.
No, we can't.
Well, we've got to. He doesn't own this place. He doesn't live here. And from the looks of him, oh, good Lord, what a bruiser. He could be the murderer the sheriff's looking for. The blood on his clothes, it's all over his park.
Helen, we can't be sure it's blood.
What else could it be? And what about the cigarettes? There's not one cigarette in that ashtray. There's nothing but pipe ashes.
Yeah, that's true, all right.
And he's stupid. Yeah, but totally uninformed. He couldn't be the man who reads these books. Listens to that music. He never heard of women's lib. He thought you drove a train.
Helen, we can't leave. We could die out there.
We can die in here. And I have a feeling we will if we don't get...
That'll hold us for a while. And enough wood in the shed to keep us warm through the night. Though with a little lady like this to keep you warm, you wouldn't have to worry too much, would you? Well, don't look so upset, Jimmy boy, would you? I wouldn't. But then I'd see to that. Not a bad idea, come to think of it. How about a drink, sweetie? Or don't you do that either?
I could use a drink, yes.
You, Jim?
Thanks, yes. What do you do, Jake?
Right now, nothing.
Well, I mean when you do something.
Let's see, we got scotch, bourbon, vodka. What'll it be?
Helen?
Scotch.
Huh?
I said scotch.
No, please.
Excuse me, please.
Jimmy boy?
The same, please.
One thing you gotta say for men, they got better manners than women. Well, come on, pull up to the fire here. Let's all get cozy. That okay with you, Helen?
It'll certainly be warmer by the fire.
That isn't what I said.
I know what you said.
What did I say? Here you are.
Thank you.
Showing better manners. Good.
Thanks.
That's better. Easy chair, warm fire, drink. That's much better.
Nice place you've got here.
Sorry.
You must do a lot of reading, all those books.
I read some, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see you like classical music, too.
Hmm.
Who are your favorite? Composers, I mean. Beethoven, maybe?
Yes, I like Beethoven.
Oh, me too. I'm especially fond of his 10th symphony.
Oh, yes, I go for that, too. Well, I don't know about you two, but I'm getting hungry. Could use some supper. How about it?
Yeah, I could eat.
You, sweetie?
Oh, I suppose. Yes.
Good. But first, we'll have to clean up the kitchen. It's a real bloody mess out there, and I mean bloody.
What do you mean bloody?
Just said there's blood all over. All over me, too. See?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How, what happened?
I didn't want to kill him. I had to. I surprised him out there in the kitchen, and he came for me. It was an axe, and it was the handiest thing, and I used that. I sank it into his skull, deep. I couldn't help thinking of the Grant family.
The Grant?
Yes, you haven't heard about that. Whole family down in the valley, slaughtered. Blood all over. I got there in the kitchen. We better get to it.
You mean me?
A lot to clean up. I can't do it by myself.
Jim will help you.
No, you will.
I'd rather not.
I didn't ask you whether you'd rather or wouldn't. I'm telling you. I'll give you 2 minutes to get out in this kitchen with me and get to work.
There is no Beethoven 10. Oh, Jim, what have we got ourselves into?
Helen, better humor him. Come on now, you better go on out into that kitchen.
I'm scared. I just can't be in that kitchen, not alone, with him. Oh, you saw the way he looks at me, the things he says.
Oh, don't worry. I'll protect you.
You.
Well, how about it, Dollface? Are you coming?
Yes. Yes. I'm coming.
Helen and Jim feel the first stirrings of terror. But worse, much worse, lies ahead for them. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Your Heart Association presents the National High Blood Pressure Test.
I'll probably funk. I'm not even sure what it is.
Well, high blood pressure is a common disorder. Maybe 21 million Americans have it. Half of them don't even know they have it.
Oh, would I know if I had it?
No, only your doctor can tell. Are you ready for the test?
Are you taking my blood pressure?
No, it's a true or false test. Now, you'll hear when you're right and when you're wrong. Now, first, headaches, dizziness, and fatigue are all definite symptoms of high blood pressure.
False.
You're right. There are no constant symptoms. Second, blood pressure varies every hour. It goes up when we're excited, down when we rest.
Oh, false.
No, you're wrong. That's true.
Oh, darn.
And third, when blood pressure goes up and stays up, it could lead to heart attack, stroke, and kidney trouble.
True.
Right.
Oh, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Not bad at all. And those listening who'd like to bone up for the next National High Blood Pressure Test can get a free booklet on the subject at their local heart association.
Support the work of your Heart Association with a generous contribution to the Heart Fund.
Yay, heart disease. I win. Heart disease. Yay.
Wow.
Doesn't that guy know that kitchen is a man's work, you know? The best chefs are all men, so they're supposed to clean up after themselves. Come on.
As a confirmed bachelor, I would agree.
Clean up after themselves, men, you say.
Well, if you live alone, you have to.
I can't even feel bad for Lois Smith. And almost all the radio mystery theaters I've ever heard her, she's a battle axe, like she is here tonight. You know, you think she'd get a nice role every now and then, but no, she's a battle axe again.
Beating battle axe versus a shrew.
Beating up on men. Yeah, well, I don't know.
I'm guessing the term moves back to our Norwegian Viking folk, and a battle axe is a good thing to have, you know, especially if you go into battle, you know, I mean.
yes.
Where's my battle axe? You know. Now, how that ever turned into some type of misnomer? No, related to women folk, I'll never know. Unless she could swing that battle axe better than he could, and then maybe, okay, I get it. You know.
All I have to say is mother-in-law. That's where it came
I had
from.
A great mother. I love my mother-in-law, and vice versa. It was great. But a lot of people didn't, like in Bewitched.
Yes.
And Dora, yes.
Endora. Yeah.
But we loved Endora, and we didn't like Darren.
Of course, Mrs. Stevens. Frank, I'm getting a sick headache. Frank,
I'm getting a sick headache.
I know. What was wrong with her? Well, I get sick headaches, too. My migraines are horrible. But I don't know if that was what it was, or she was just, you know, feigning pain so she could go work on her battle axe techniques. I don't know.
I, for one, like Uncle Arthur.
Oh, yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Paul Lynn was a hero.
His very first appearance on Bewitched was when he was the
driving instructor?
The driving instructor, yeah. Oh, my God, that was so funny.
Did he duplicate the same thing on the Munsters? I can't remember. That might have been a running gag.
It may have been. He was the...
He was the survival instructor on I Dream of Jeannie.
Ah,
oh, God.
You know what? He was so talented and so funny, but he had like two or three sitcoms, and none of them lasted
Took
any
off.
Longer than
yeah.
yeah, like six to 13 weeks. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I don't know, they expected too much of him.
Then he hit Hollywood Squares, and that was the end of it. That was his mark.
He's a bit of a drinker, too, I think. I don't know if that...
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that issue.
But I just don't think in his sitcoms that they utilized him to his where when he was a guest, he could do all these crazy things, but when he was, like, the lead in the sitcom, he wasn't allowed to do all those crazy things that made it work for him.
Right. Right.
That makes sense.
Well, you don't take Bozo the Clown and make him, you know, a driving instructor.
Ah, but
well,
they
could.
Have.
That would have been interesting.
Have. Yeah.
Okay, one honk for right and two honks for left.
Yeah. Where's my ballpoint? I've got one.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Well done. Nicely done.
Yeah. Well, I have sound effects. It's part of the fun. Being
you got that sound effect from your car.
That's disgusting. Yeah, okay, sure.
Clown.
Well, the battle axe versus the femme fatale, someone using her feminine charms only to have Dumbnose 38 in her little handbag, pulls it out, bang, bang, you know.
Yeah. That's where she says,
battle axe my foot! Have this!
Bang, bang. Yeah, that would... I'm surprised it translated into the 20th century where people were using that term, which goes back to the Vikings. Blah, blah.
Why? Vikings had bad mother-in-laws? Mother-in-laws?
No,
they
Vikings
did.
Had battle axes. Because they went into
That's
battle with
said.
An axe. Oh. I'm confused.
Wasn't it
Never
the Vikings
mind.
That had a battle axe?
So which came first, the battle axe or the mother-in-law? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, man. You guys had a rough life. That's crazy.
Gosh.
I know.
If you had met my...
Oh, my God.
If you'd only met my first mother-in-law. Hmm.
I would have lunch every day with my mother-in-law. She would bake bread and make me a sandwich. It was great.
See, my first mother-in-law was nice. She was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about the current mother-in-law situation. Wasn't
that
great?
The most recent. She's not current any longer.
Okay.
That's about as nice as I can put it.
There you go.
Did someone hear that lightning bolt coming down and lightning bolt coming near Dale's general direction?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going straight to hell. There's no stopping. Do not pass go. Do
Sunday
not collect $200.
Alive.
Well, those one-way trips are those one-way non-stop trips. They're okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Anywho.
I mean, who wants to get stuck in Atlanta for 7 hours? Come on.
Yeah.
What's in Atlanta?
The airport, international airport there.
Oh.
Yes.
I think I've been there. I don't know. Brain damage. I got nothing. I got brain damage.
This is a surprise.
This is news? You are telling us something new?
We wouldn't have you any other way.
Brain damage or no? That's it.
That's like a game show. Brain damage or no?
I tell you, it's a new quiz show.
Your brain is good as Abby Normal.
That's right. That's right. Actually, my brain was showcased. It was right next to the Abby Normal one in the film. It said slightly askew, and he didn't touch that one.
Good thing. Who knows what could have happened?
I know.
That monster might not have been able to dance and sing.
That's right.
Cavort. Otherwise, cavort about.
I know my limitations, but I will still dance and sing. Because it's funny.
Gotta dance.
Speaking of which, are we doing the Sunday thing in perpetuity?
No, until the
new year?
So, yeah.
Next week, and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, because Christmas on there, we want other people to have time with their families for that one.
Oh, well, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Yule, Hanukkah, et cetera, whatever.
Yes, and ad infinitum.
Yeah. I had to buy a new hat rack because I got 58 hats for all the different celebrations of this month. It's crazy.
Celebrate them all.
Everything.
That's right.
Do it all.
Well, hey, you know, free food. Who's going to say no to that? You know, I mean, come on.
Okay.
Why, where are you going for free food?
Wherever they give it away.
We got some free radio. We got free radio.
Let's
get back to Blizzard of Terror. This one is kind of terrorizing. So,
Before we jump in, one thing is they're inside a house, but they still hear the wind. The wind never stopped.
The windows are open.
It's a cabin.
No, it's a cabin.
It's a cabin,
yeah.
And the windows are open.
Yeah. No, the windows are not open.
Cabin in the woods.
No. Cabin in the woods.
It's a howling, screaming kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Someone turn the fan off.
And let's hear more of it. Part two of Blizzard of Terror.
Suppose now that you, not Jim and Helen Crane, but you had sought shelter from the blizzard in that forsaken mountain cabin. You had met this strange and quite obviously murderous man who calls himself Jake. Suppose you, not Helen, are helping him, against your will, to clean up the shambles in the kitchen. The bloody shambles.
Well, that's it, I guess.
The axe needs to be washed. There's blood all over it. Well, go on, wash it.
I can't touch it.
And not as liberated, wasn't that the word, as you thought?
I don't see what that's got to do with it.
I kind of got the impression you felt you could do anything a man could do. All right, I'll wash the axe. You start making supper. Well, what are you standing there for? Get busy.
I don't know where anything is.
Lots of canned stuff in that closet, and there's a can over on the wall. Think you know how to use it?
I'll try.
Spunky, aren't you?
Spunky.
You know there was a killing in this kitchen this afternoon, and I was the one who used this axe. You know that, but you got the nerve to stand up to me. Maybe too much nerve.
There's beans and spaghetti, stew. And that's about it. What do you want?
You decide. I figure you're good at deciding things. That's what's wrong between you and your hubby.
How do you know there's something wrong?
No sweat. 5 minutes with the two of you and anybody could see you're too pushy. And him, he's too much the other way. Yep, like I said, you're too spunky. Somebody ought to take a little of it out of you.
Get your hands off me.
Oh, come on now.
Now let me go. Oh, stop it. Stop.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? Well, you might say I was starting to do what you should do, Jimmy boy.
Well, don't try that again. You do.
And you won't do any more than you're doing right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, Jim, please. It's all right now. No harm done. I'm not hurt or anything.
What's the big deal, Jimmy boy? Little kiss between friends. What's to get psyched up about? Come on, chum. Let you and me have a friendly drink while Helen gets supper ready.
No, I don't want to.
Come on. You know how to use that can opener, sweetie?
I'll manage.
That's my girl. Scotch, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see you tried to use the phone. Don't look so surprised. You put it back the wrong way around.
The phone's dead.
I could have told you that.
The wires are down, I guess.
No. I cut the wires.
You cut? I see.
Well, you drink, Jimmy boy. Cheers. Oh, and by the way, in case you've got any other ideas about getting help, those guns over the fireplace aren't loaded. And neither is that revolver on your mantle.
Jake.
Yeah?
I'll make a deal with you.
What gives you the idea that you're in any position to make a deal?
I'm not, but you've got aces back to back, I know that, but I'm still in the game, Jake.
You're a good poker player. You're bluffing, but I'd never be able to tell it in your face.
Are you going
to
listen?
All ears.
Let us go, Helen and me. Let us go, and we won't say a thing, not a thing, to anybody.
About what?
What? You know.
I don't know.
Look, I don't want to spell it out.
You got no choice. I hold aces back to back, like you said.
All right. My wife and I, we have a pretty good idea who you are. You know that, or I wouldn't be telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you're thinking, once these two leave here, they'll contact the sheriff and give them a lead on me. Well, all I want to say is, just give us a break and we won't say a word to anybody.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And in return?
You just let us go.
Who's holding you?
Well, you know what I mean. We can't go now, not with that blizzard out there. I mean, tomorrow or the next day, whenever the plow comes through and clears the road, I mean, I want you to let us live.
What for? Answer me that, Jimmy boy. What for?
Well, that's a crazy question.
Yeah? Let me tell you something. Tell me. You in love with your wife? You can't answer that, huh? She in love with you. Can't answer that either, huh? Can you? How long you been married? You can answer that.
3 years.
What happened, Jimmy? What happened between the times 3 years ago you two couldn't wait to get married? How bad are now when you can't wait to get divorced? You are thinking about divorce, aren't you?
Well, we don't get along, that's for sure, but...
For what? You're at each other's throats day in and day out, right? Nothing but fights, arguments, frustrations on both sides. From the minute you get up till you go to bed, right? Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
And you want to live? For what?
Well, you keep hoping things will change.
They won't. Unless you make them change. Very few ever do. They keep hoping right into the grave, hoping. Like the Grants.
Why, Why did you kill the Grants?
They killed themselves. They were dead long before they were put out of their misery. Like you and her. I'll make a deal with you, Jimmy.
I'm listening.
You give me a good reason why you should go on living, and it's a deal.
We want to.
No. You just don't want to die. Now, that wasn't a bad meal, sweetie. You're real talented with a can opener.
Thank you.
Yeah. Storm's getting worse. Yeah, we're really snowed in now. Drifts above the windowsills. Better build this fire up, and then I guess we'll hit the sack. And where do you want to sleep, sweetie? Come on now. You shouldn't have any trouble making up your mind.
Oh, I haven't. I'll sleep with my husband, as usual.
As usual?
What kind of a crack is that?
Now, now, cool it, Jimmy boy.
Well, I won't have my wife insulted. I don't care how big you are, Jake, or how tough or cold-blooded. I won't have
you
insulted.
Oh, Jim, now stop it. This is no time for gallantry. You're no match for him. He'd kill you.
Besides, you took me the wrong way. All I meant was... Well, come on now, be honest. How long has it been since you two did sleep together as husband and wife?
That's no business of yours.
Long time, huh? Well, the minute I laid eyes on you, the way you acted toward each other, looked at each other, the way you talked, anybody could see you hated each other.
We don't hate each other.
You love each other? You see, that's what I mean. You two. You don't hate, you don't love. You don't nothing. And you ask me, that's a naughty way to live. So how about it, sweetie?
How about what?
There's a nice big double bed in that bedroom, and it's going to be a cold night. And me, I sure appreciate it.
I warn you, Jake.
Oh, Jim, I'll sleep out here on the couch.
Come here, sweetie.
What? Oh.
Let old Jake see if he can change your
mind.
Oh, God,
hey, now.
Get
what
your
are you
hands off her.
Come here.
Oh, you dirty...
Jim! Why,
you
just...
little treat. Hit me, would you? I guess I will hold you for a while, Jimmy boy. Now, you, dog.
Oh, no. You can kill me if you want to. You could torture me for hours, but I would never, never... Never.
Suit yourself. No, I think about it. What would I want with you? Oh, when Jimmy boy comes to, tell him not to get any ideas in the night about escaping or overpowering me. He hasn't a chance.
Jim. Jim?
Oh, I'll be okay. He sure packs a mean wallop.
You shouldn't have even thought of standing up to him.
Some things a man will take and some things he won't. And manhandling his wife is one of them.
Jim, can we get out? Do you think? Would there be any way?
No, no. We're snowed in. Even if we could get to the car, we wouldn't be able to drive it a foot in those drifts.
What about telephoning for help?
Well, the phone's dead. He cut the wires.
Oh.
But don't you worry. Don't you worry. Helen, there's one thing he overlooked.
What?
That revolver on the mantelpiece. This.
It's loaded?
Not yet, but it's going to be. He made a big point about those guns over the mantel and this revolver having no bullets in them. I knew that without being told. Those guns were the first thing I went for when you two were in the kitchen.
But if they're unloaded...
Well, I nosed around. I couldn't find any ammunition for the guns on the wall, but I found these in that drawer.
Do they fit?
Looks as if they ought to. We'll soon find out.
They do. They fit.
Yeah, thank heavens.
What do we do now?
We'll wait till morning. But we're safe now, Helen. Safe.
Thanks to you, darling.
No, you haven't called me that, and I don't know when.
Jim, There's something I forgot to mention. I kind of figure you must have found the bullets for that revolver in the desk drawer. You did, didn't you?
What of it?
Don't bother loading that gun. It doesn't work. The trigger's broken. Night.
Helpless once again, Jim and Helen can only stare at each other as fear touches them with icy fingers. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up.
Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just cause.
Just cause why, honey?
Just cause Darla said some evil things about it. That's just cause why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla.
Darla.
Hi, sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But, Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Oh, do I believe, Darla or my taste buds?
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too.
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right, Mom.
Right,
Dad.
Indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
We hope you're enjoying our new CBS Mystery Theater. It's another addition to our KIXI programming we're very proud of. We've made quite a few additions in the past year. For instance, we've added 1,000 people to our news team. People like Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, Wynne Elliott, Douglas Edwards, Mike Wallace. Just six of the more than 1,000 CBS reporters who help make KIXI Seattle's number one news service. And in the morning, we provide the only 90-minute news service in the area. 7 to 8:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. The complete CBS news team, plus Seattle's best local coverage and up-to-the-second traffic reports. This is Dean Smith. Join me and Bob Little, Ken Stewart, Clarence McDaniels, Norm Bobrow, Gary Jeanette, plus Chet Huntley, Charles Osgood, and the CBS news team for Seattle's best news coverage. 90 minutes of news each day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KIXI 91 a.m., 96 FM, where the listeners are.
Yay, old man Chet Huntley. How about that?
And Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, they got all those dead guys.
Yes.
In fact, I meant to announce, Dale, that we now have Edward R. Murrow as part of our news staff here at Erie House Radio, and Charles Kuralt, and Edwin Newman, all part of the Erie House Dead News Guys network there.
What about Alfred E. Newman?
What about him? He doesn't worry about anything.
Wasn't there a Paul Newman?
Yes, he made a sauce, Italian sauce.
And how about Pat Paulson?
And how about him? Funny guy.
I know. He ran for president.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
And don't forget the exalted Howard K. Smith and Harry Reasoner.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you got Peter Jennings that we could add to our dead news guy staff. And okay.
John Chancellor.
Frank Reynolds, yeah. John Chancellor,
Pete
yes.
Pete Franklin.
Bob Michelin.
Brinkley.
That's a local reference. Pete Franklin.
Well, sort of. He went out to California for a while, but came back. Begging for his job.
Right.
Begging for his job. Gimme, please.
They all try to leave Cleveland. They all try to leave Cleveland.
Don't forget Frank Lloyd Bumper Shoot. That guy. Oh, boy.
Oh, any celebrities come out of Parma?
Parma?
Yes, there was one.
What's his name?
There he is.
No, that's one
the
polka.
The certain ethic guy. The certain ethic guy, yep. And Mary Husky.
a gleeful
Very
little
husky.
Tune. Very husky.
Very husky. Oh, my.
Epic Cleveland television.
Oh, hey. That show you mentioned just now, Dave. Oh, yeah, Mary Hartman. Wasn't that in a fictitious town in Ohio?
Yes.
Yes.
Findlay?
No. No. It was the one that's Fernwood.
Fernwood, that's it.
Because Mark Hall went on to do that Fernwood Tonight, where he was a host of TV host of Fernwood Tonight.
And they played this song a lot.
Oh, wow. What was it real? Fernwood's not real, is it? It's not Fernwood, Ohio, is it? No.
No.
That would freak.
I don't believe so. Unless there's a town in Ohio that renamed itself Fernwood so it can be remembered, just like Truth or Consequences New Mexico did.
Well, I know there's a Wakanda, Illinois. You could keep calling the city hall and say, hey, do you have any vibranium on hand? Any vibranium to sell? Wakanda forever.
Jeez. Yes. Vibranium. Cheap discount. Get yours now, kids.
Better than adamantium.
I remember vibranium from, oh my gosh, it was a real early Fantastic Four. I want to say a number like in the 30s or 40s. There was some dude named Claw.
Claw, ooh. Yes.
Claw. And he shot some kind of sound waves or something like that, and he was going up against the Black Panther way back in the 70s.
Wow.
Yep. And then he was actually featured in the Hanna-Barbera animated 1967 Fantastic Four cartoon as one of the bad guys. Ooh.
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 Yeah. As a complete waste of time, there was a poll done online saying what metal in versus the Marvel or DC universe was stronger. Was it vibranium? Was it adamantium, or was it the metal from DC Universe, Amazonian? There's a metal called Amazonia. Wonder Woman's gauntlets.
I would dare say the Wonder Woman aspect is going to have magic tied to it because much of the Amazonian properties are from Greek gods. So possibly
correct.
That. I don't...
Her weapons were forged by the god of the forge, Hephaistos. Killers.
What the education you get on this show, I'll tell you.
I'm a geek. I win.
The Erie House PhD. That's that's a scholar. That's a person of letters. We are. DC.
Oh, boy.
Marvel.
That guy
Make
from
mine
across
Marvel.
The universe.
Make mine Marvel.
Yeah.
I used to say.
Well, yeah, I'm of both worlds. That I grew up enjoying both. Dale is more unipolar on it. He's like, Marvel or nothing. Marvel or death.
No, I mean, there was a few DC things that caught my eye.
Uh-huh.
I did that primarily DC. Kind of swayed over to Marvel a little bit on the odd occasion when they had a matchup in the comic books, the few times they had DC and Marvel together.
Yes.
Before they became
right.
Mega conglomerates.
Mm-hmm. They had the Hulk and Batman. They had Superman and Spider-Man. I can't think of any. Those were the oversized comics in the 70s. Can't think of any others. But.
Yeah, I think they had Jimmy Olsen versus J. Jonah Jameson, maybe. Something they,
ouch.
Now that one I would have bought that one.
Yeah, and Jimmy lost because he couldn't grow a mustache.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I think they had one. Oh yeah, Wonder Woman versus the Scarlet Witch. I think.
Really? That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Never saw that one. One thing that was fun about both of them is they had these team up things. Marvel had Marvel team-ups,
yes.
Which was typically The Thing and someone else, I think.
For a while it was The Thing. For a while it was Spidey, actually, originally.
Spidey, yeah, okay, Spidey
yeah.
and someone. And then it went to The Thing. And then on the other side you had DC Presents, and that was Superman and somebody.
Oh, I think The Thing had Marvel. Was that Marvel 2-in-1, maybe?
Yeah, Marvel 2-in-1. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
That was The Thing, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had both.
More on that later. Got a lot of radio.
Yeah.
Got a lot of radio.
Indeed.
There was a snowstorm somewhere. I don't know.
We don't have time to chat, but I just can't wait to get to the end of this thrilling story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Blizzard of Terror.
Terror's icy fingers grip Helen and Jim Crane as they face all but certain death at the hands of Jake. Curious, though, isn't it? Even strange that their fear, shared in common, brings them closer to each other than ever before in the 3 years of their marriage. Strange. Curious.
Jim?
Oh. I didn't know you were awake.
I've hardly slept.
I'm sorry. I've done the best I could with this fire through the night to keep the room warm.
I know. I watched you get up out of that chair again and again. Thank you, Jim.
What?
You did it mostly for me. For my comfort. Thank you.
Oh, nonsense. I need a little warmth, too, you know.
You don't get much, do you? From me.
Could be I don't rate much.
I think you do.
Why do you withhold it?
I only just found out.
Found out?
It wasn't the cold that kept me awake through the night. It was thinking about Jake and us.
Yeah, well, we'll manage a way out of this. I don't know how, but we will.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about something he said last night. He said, we don't hate each other, we don't love, we don't nothing. And then he said, you ask me, that's a nutty way to live. Well, it is, isn't it?
If what he said was true about us, but it isn't.
It is.
Not for me. I did a lot of thinking, too. I love you, Helen. I always have. It's just that...
Yes?
I don't know. It seems I can't reach you anymore. Something happened to us a long way, and I can't figure out what it is.
I think I can.
Tell me.
I don't know. I think maybe it's just the times we live in. I mean, take women's lib.
I don't see anything wrong with women's lib. The fact is, I'm all for it if it doesn't go too far.
It did with me, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I do. I wanted to be... I still want to be my own person. Myself. Me. The last thing I wanted was to be dependent on anyone, and I guess especially on you. But last night, oh, Jim, I was scared. And when you fought for me, when you, you just went for him like a raging animal, Jim, and you did it for me. I know you wouldn't have done it for yourself or maybe for anyone, but you did it for me. Oh, Jim, I needed you. I really did need you.
Well, maybe the truth is... The simple truth is that we need each other. I don't mean just you and me, but everybody. I mean, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? Same world. We are dependent on each other. So why do we fight it?
I'm not fighting it anymore. I made up my mind to that during the night. Jim? I love you. You are a wonderful husband. Only I just never gave you the chance to be.
Oh, Helen, sweetheart.
Oh, I do love you. Oh, Jim, I do. Oh, I do.
Oh, dearest.
Well, 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 look what's going on here. When did you two scrappers become lovebirds? Never mind, never mind. That fire needs building up. Get some wood, Jim. It's back in the shed.
Okay.
So, you think you've fallen in love with your husband all over again, eh?
You were listening. You overheard.
Laugh myself sick.
I don't see anything funny about it.
You wouldn't. You believe it. So does he. Fact is, the two of you are in the same boat, and no, you better row together or else.
Or else what?
You'll find out, sweetie.
What will you take to let us go?
Kind of putting the cart before the horse, aren't you? Go where?
The blizzard has stopped.
But those drifts out there must be 6-8 feet high.
They must plow that road. They have to keep it open. A plow is sure to come through, if not today, tomorrow.
Could be.
Well, then.
Well, then what?
Don't kill us. Let us go.
Why should I?
I'll give you anything you want. I'll do anything you want.
How do you know what I want? What makes you so sure you can supply it?
You've made that plain enough. Jake, I beg you, let us live. At least let Jim live, and I'll do anything, anything.
Oh,
oh, Jim!
Oh, what happened?
Jim.
Oh, I was bringing an armful of wood, and I stepped on a log. Oh, twisted my ankle.
Here, let me give you a hand. Just lean on me. Now, take it easy.
Jim, dear.
Easy now, easy. Yeah, sit right there.
Get that shoe off.
Let him get it off himself. He's no cripple. You get out in the kitchen and scare up some breakfast. You heard me.
Oh, the pain.
See if you can stand on it.
Stand?
Try it.
I can't. I'm helpless. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Real helpless. Hey, you make a good cup of coffee, Doe.
Thank you. I'll get another cold compress for your ankle, Jim.
He's all right.
I said
he's okay. Let him worry about his ankle. You and me have some unfinished business.
What is this? Helen, what is this?
It's the only way.
What only way? What are you talking about?
Jim, I made a deal with him.
A deal?
I said I'd do anything if he'd let us go.
Are you out of your mind?
He's going to kill us. Now you know that.
Now you're crazy. He'll get what he wants and then he'll kill us.
No.
Yes.
No, because I'm going to kill him with his
kitchen knife.
All I want is to get close enough to him.
No, you can't do that. It isn't in you to do that.
It's got to be. There isn't any other way.
What's keeping you?
I'm coming.
And leave the knife, doll. These petitions are awful thin. You ought to know that by now. Put the knife down, I said.
Stay where you are, Helen.
She made a deal, and she's gone through with it.
Over my dead body.
No, you fool, over your live body.
Over my life?
He said he'd spare you.
Spare me? He said us.
She lied. She made the bargain to save you.
Helen, you would...
I love you. I love you, Jim. I told you that. I love you.
And I love you, Helen, a lot too much to let you go through with anything like this.
What'd you figure you can do about it, huh? You can't even stand, not on that bad ankle, you can't.
Oh, yes, I can.
Jimmy, boy, not you. Now, Dal.
No, no. I can't. I can't go through with it.
Oh, yes, you can.
Leave her alone. Leave her alone.
Oh, please, I can't.
Stop
it,
Jimmy. Stop it.
Jim. You. Did you?
I don't know. I don't know, Helen. I somehow grabbed the poker and made it across the floor and hit him with it. I don't know how I did it. Oh, I've got to sit down and get off this.
Oh, here,
ankle.
Here. So mean on me. All right, now. Easy, easy.
Yeah, thanks. Better have a look at him, Helen. See if he's breathing. I may have killed him.
He's breathing. His head's bleeding. Where you hit him.
All right, get something to tie him up with. See if there's some rope around.
Uh-huh.
And snap it up.
Oh.
He's coming to us.
Oh, yes. It's the phone.
He said he cut the wires.
He couldn't have. It was a bluff. Hello? Sheriff? It's the sheriff in Big Indian. Who? Professor Moran. No. There is a man here. I'm afraid he's hurt. Me? My name's Helen Crane. My husband and I got caught in last night's blizzard, and we managed to get to this cabin, and we found... Well, there was blood all over the kitchen and an axe.
Helen, look out. Jake, it's all right. All right.
The poker. Helen, the poker. Hit him again.
No.
Yes.
No, you've got it all wrong. All wrong.
Helen, hit him.
Sheriff!
Give me that phone.
Hello.
Hello, Ed. Yes, it's Jake. No, it's okay. Everything's okay. No, not. I'm not worried at all. I knew you'd check as soon as they got the service back on. What? Oh, man. Bobcat. Yeah, Bobcat. Surprised him in the kitchen. Killed him with a wood axe. Handiest thing. Yeah, I guess so. Prowling for food, sure. Oh, well. A nice young couple. No, I'm very much alive. I'll explain when I see you. The plow. When? Good. No, we're okay. Plenty of wood, plenty of food. Huh. Thanks, Ed. So long.
You... Professor Moran?
Yes.
Why? I don't get it. We thought you were the killer they're looking for.
Yes, I know.
Why didn't you tell us who you were? Why didn't you explain about the blood in the kitchen?
Well, more important, why did you act the way you did? You acted the part of the killer.
Yes. Why did I act the part? Well, you were guinea pigs, I'm afraid.
Guinea pigs?
Yes, I'm head of the Department of Psychology at City University. I sized you two up the minute I saw you. Your marriage was headed for the rocks, and like most couples, you didn't know it.
No, I guess we didn't.
Like any other young marriage in this day and age, you'd lost contact with each other. We're going separate ways. Well, I set out to bring you back together, and as I said before, people in the same boat have to pull together. All I did was put you both in the same boat by making you face a common danger. A danger that never existed.
Well, I'm hanged.
You carried things pretty far, Professor Moran.
Too far, my dear. Much too far. You'll find aspirin in the medicine cabinet. Bring me a couple, would you? On second thought, you bring the bottle.
And so terror turns to surprise and relief. Pretty shrewd fellow, Professor Moran, wouldn't you say? I mean, realizing that Jim and Helen were headed for divorce, that took keen insight into human nature. But then, he was, after all, a trained psychologist. I'll be back in just a moment.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not it's possible to share life, you know, on a city street. The give and take of city living is what you might call it. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together, they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Marriage is two people in the same boat. A cliche, of course. But the very core of every cliche is truth. All is not gold that glitters. A stitch in time saves nine, and so on. I couldn't help thinking that all humanity is in the same boat. And what an infinitely better and happier world it would be if we all learned to pull together. Our cast included Lois Smith, Larry Haynes, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I don't want your wife on board.
This voyage is begun. The course is set and it will not be changed.
May I remind you, Captain, that this is my ship.
Now, this is my ship, Mr. Ames. My ship. From port to port. Your ship in the harbor, mine on the sea. My ship. Here I give the orders. Here I expect to be obeyed.
In the name of all that's reasonable, man, in view of our business, can't you see this is no place for a woman?
There's only one place for Annabella. My wife remains at my side.
But on a slave ship.
By my side, do you hear? By my side. Now, we'll hear no more of this. Or by the living God, owner or not, I'll clap you in irons.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time,
macabre.
Pleasant dreams.
KIXI, Stereo 96, Seattle.
Macabre. Wow. He said macabre.
Macabre. Macabre.
Did he? Macarena?
He did.
Macabre.
Oh, Macarena.
Macabre. I'm sorry, my language. What an ending. And then
yes.
I'm going to get a call to ask for a bottle of aspirin. I would have gone in the kitchen and banged him over the head with a cast iron pot. I mean, that is that's abuse therapy.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was horrid.
It's like deprogramming. I got no problem with it. I'm kidding.
Oh, that's how Dale got his third wife.
Yes. Third. Whoa. Don't be no
I
third.
I didn't even bring up the fourth one.
Oh, good heavens. Trying to kill me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm not down with... Is the word misogyny? Is that the word?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Somebody animated a robot and sent it to me with googly eyes. Anyway.
Googly eyes. Googly eyes.
The holidays are nigh upon us, nay? Yes. And the snow is a-fallen up here.
You know, there could be a moral to this story.
There could be.
Could be.
If one had been scrolled in the proper place, we'd already have had it. Better late than never. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Is and shall ever be that free advice is free for a reason.
Yes, it was all about dream.
It was all
it
about
was.
Dream. It was.
It was
yes.
about dream. Well, it was for that couple, that's for sure.
I mean,
yes, indeed.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. Wow.
Oh, boy.
We got time maybe for a wheel, maybe?
Sure.
Someone like to making with the spinnings? Yeah?
I got no place to be.
Go for it, Gar.
What? Spin away!
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Gracie, what did you do today?
Oh, I went to the public library on 42nd Street. Oh, and boy, do they need a new librarian.
They do, huh?
Yeah, the minute I walked in, she said, do you belong to the library? And I said, no. And she said, well, if you want something to read, I'll have to give you a card.
Did you read the card?
Well, I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so I gave it back to her. And I said, I don't have to read it. I already saw the movie.
Very few people would be that nice.
We all take after my mother.
Of course.
Well, anyway, I explained to her that I came to get that new book, I Love Her, That's Why, by George Burns, so she went to get it.
Well, thanks for mentioning my book.
I had to, otherwise she wouldn't know what to look for.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true.
So, while I was standing there by the desk, a tall young man who looked very intelligent came up and asked me. He said, has the library got any books on antique glass?
And what did you say?
I said, well, they may have, but it seems most of them are printed on paper.
And you say he looked intelligent, huh?
Well, he fooled me. And then another woman came over and asked for Lucy Crown, and I said, well, if that's the librarian, she went to get me a book, but she'll be back in a minute.
Gracie, Lucy Crown happens to be one of the great new books, and Burt Lancaster just bought it for the movies.
Oh, well, if that man's going to read in the movies, it'll wreck his eyes.
Yeah, well, I know him, so I better give him a call.
Do.
I will.
Oh, and that other woman. When I think of her, I get mad.
What happened?
Well, I gave her a piece of my mind.
Well, I hope you didn't give her the last piece.
Why?
I was trying to make a joke.
Go ahead, make one.
Some other time. Why did this woman make you so mad?
Oh, well, she said she just had a baby, and she wanted a book on child care and feeding.
So?
So I said, well, a baby can't read how to do those things. You should take care of her and feed her yourself.
Well, I see there are mothers, and then again, there are mothers.
Oh, so true. And then this dapper-looking old man walked over, and he tipped his hat, and he said, how do you do? I'm looking for little women. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said,
Gracie, you didn't.
You should have seen him run. Good night.
Well, the preacher went out walking. It was on one Sunday morning. It was against his religion, but he took that gun along. He shot himself a mighty fine quail and one little measly hare. But on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Now the bear got down in the middle of the road and on all fours like a great big toad. Looked that preacher right square in the eye, and the preacher looked at him and said bye-bye. The preacher got up, took out the run. The bear right after that preacher did come, and he run for about a mile. And the preacher sat down and rested a while. The preacher you got up, started again. There right after him with more vim, but he ran and he ran till he spotted the tree. Up on the limb was placed for me. Bear reached up, made a grab for him. Preacher leaped and he made the limb. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, "Oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then deep root killing with the fiery furnace." The good folks do declare, "Hey Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sake, don't come back there." Not just about then that limb gave way and the preacher come tumbling down. Reached his pocket, pulled his razor out just before he hit the ground. He hit the ground with an awful bang, it was a terrible sight. That preacher and the bear with the razor in his hair just cutting left and right. Well, they rolled around on the ground, the preacher was up and then he was down. The bear let out an awful moan, looked like the preacher was holding his own. Said, "If I get out of here alive, but that good book I will abide. I'll never sin on Sabbath day and Sunday come off. Pray and pray it to the heavens." He did glance at Lord, "Just give me one more chance." And his suspenders gave away. He knocked that bear 10 feet away. Preacher got up, made the bound for the street where he'd be safe and sound. Well, he pulled himself up and turned the back, cast his eyes in the skies, and he'd shout, "Hey Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the Hebrew children of the fiery furnace." The good folks do declare, "Now Lord, if you can't speak for goodness sake, don't help that bad."
First we had George and Gracie, and then we wrap it up with Phil Harris, the preacher and the bear. And I think Phil Harris knows a few things about bears. Next week, nothing big going on. So we're just gonna hang around Friday night. No.
Hey, Bah Humbug.
Kind of a Christmas with a Christmas carol. The Campbell Playhouse, Orson Welles and Lionel Barrymore.
Yeah, for many, many years, about 8 or 9 years in a row, Lionel Barrymore portrayed Ebenezer Scrooge for Christmas Carol on a yearly basis. So this is one of them.
Yeah, and he's perfect for that. You've seen him as a cantankerous people in a number of films and in radio. He was even a cantankerous kind of a good doctor on radio. Anywho, a week from tonight, it's CBS Radio Mystery Theater, A Very Private Miracle. So that's our holiday schedule for the upcoming holiday. And, of course, Gar, you'll be
taking Christmas off.
You're Christmas off.
Yeah, 2 weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
Right after vacation, I posted this.
Some vacation is trying to install Windows 11. That's not a vacation.
Yes. He's actually going to be... He's actually assisting Santa Claus, so he can't do the show.
I'll be in back of the sleigh, you know, fending off gooses that might be trying to get a free ride. I don't know.
So are you helping Saint Nick or Krampus?
Well, I know them both, and you know it depends on which one has stronger coffee.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, well, my allegiance is there. It's just, you know, hey, you take what you can get, right?
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we had quite a fun ending last night to my little horrible horror thing. And someone stopped by the crypt. And then after I popped back on, I was like, who was that? I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, who was that guy? Yes, I know.
That was... what was that? And then I was gone. It was all a bad dream, but there was some guy in the crib.
Yes.
And it wasn't
a bad dream.
And it wasn't a robot.
Well, just in case some of you can't make it, have a merry, merry Christmas. And whoever can be here will be here. New Year, Christmas Eve. Good night, folks.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Yes.
There we go.
Something Christmassy about that.
Is there?
Yes.
What is that from? What is
oh,
that?
That's from South Park.
Oh, okay. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, Christmas. That guy. Oh, yeah.
The Christmas
awesome.
Character whose name we shall not mention in its entirety.
I didn't like that guy.
Yeah, I thought he stank.
Yeah, that too.
He stinks.
Yeah.
Which character?
What an old
stain,
I tell you.
Yeah. It's a stain on humanity. Anyway. Gar. That robot is creeping me out, man. You've got those eyes animated going around and around.
Yeah, while we were listening to the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, I was multitasking, sitting there doing the artwork for that and then animating it.
Does that not look like those Martians?
A little bit. He does a little bit.
Yeah.
They moved their eyes kind of like that. They did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he has a skull-like head. They had the big overgrown dome. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I've improved on a robot.
Yes. He's a cross between the Terminator and the...
And the Ackers.
Attack of Mars Attacks Martians.
Yes. So.
We come in peace. We come in peace.
Play Metallica backwards. His head explodes or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what to say. I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick, and I am all out of bubble gum.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They Live. Such an odd movie.
I actually liked that one. It was a crazy thing about, you know, possibly the truth is out there and nobody's paying attention to it.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the underlying message.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was veiled up in Aliens, you know, so it was a little bit beyond just that straightforward.
Dave, you've seen They Live, haven't you? You've seen They Live, haven't you? The movie They Live.
I don't think I did.
Oh, it's a John Carpenter. Oh, you've got to see it.
Yeah. It's
Rowdy Piper.
Piper.
Yeah.
Well, John Carpenter, is Adrienne Barbeau in there?
No.
Yeah, well, they sing a lot during the, you know, there's a lot of singing in the movie, you know.
No, she's not in that one.
No. Kirstie Allen's in that movie. I think Kirstie Allen's in that movie.
Ironically, we just referenced South Park. There was an episode where they matched They Live shot for shot. It was a fight between the challenged kid, Timmy, and the other physically challenged kid. And they were fighting, and they copied it scene for scene. It was a weird homage to They Live. It was so funny.
Yeah. They just have some, you know... The whole thing about adult cartoons, like Adult Swim and South Park and all that, really took me. I mean, the story was Ren and Stimpy, sort of, I guess, but it just took me aback because I was sitting there going, "Oh, a cartoon," and I turned like, "Oh my gosh, what am I watching?" Go ahead.
I heard Trey Parker from South Park being interviewed, and. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, they said, with all this cancel culture going on, it's like, why are you guys immune?
Right.
Because they're so offensive. He says, I don't know.
Very true.
Because we go after everybody. Sooner or later, we go after everybody.
Yeah. I mean, they've had, for the longest time, there's a kid who has braces on his legs, and he's got crutches. And he's all over the place. And they literally drag him all over the place, you know.
Yes.
It's like, why aren't people up in arms about, you know, what they're doing with the characters?
Yeah.
They're absolutely irreverent, and they
poke at everybody. And sometimes I find it funny, but sometimes it pushes. I think it pushes too many buttons, but I don't know.
Well, then maybe it should, along the lines of people are upset. because there's an Asian Muppet. Muppets are puppets. They're puppets. They're not real people.
It
cartoons
was a politician.
Are cartoons.
It wasn't. Like, it was just a politician. He was the only one complaining.
True.
Mm-hmm. It was just
politician ridiculous.
Who had nothing better to do with himself.
And trying to get attention for himself. Gain attention for himself.
Sometimes cancel culture backfires. I know, like, around the, I don't know, third or fourth season of Married with Children, this woman went crazy. She went after the advertisers and everything. It just made the show explode with popularity even further.
Right.
And they got other advertisers who were happy to pay more.
And it also possibly brought attention to the program that might not have ever had attention, so it gained new viewers.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah, what's all the fuss about? And it's like, the whole thing of it was, this is like Al is like Wile E. Coyote. He's a cartoon character.
Yes,
exactly. No matter what he does, he ends up falling off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much
gets
it.
No roadrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really get it. I was brought up watching Sesame Street from 1967 or 68 when it first started. It was introduced and it was brought to us in school, and I grew up with them. Well into my adulthood, where I was like, oh, yeah, Grover, all right, Oscar the Grouch, Cookie Monster. And they're endearing to me. And yet people, they're, like you said, there might just be one politician who's going crazy about it. But, you know, these are – they did so much to bring everybody together. Everybody likes Grover. It doesn't matter where you came from. Everybody likes Oscar the Grouch or whatever, you know.
And the Snuffleupagus.
Yeah. And it's creating the common ground that disproves all of this stuff, because it's common ground where we're going to come together and be happy and joyous and yay. You know, we just have to get there, you know.
I don't really believe in cancel culture. I just believe there are consequences for what you say sometimes.
True.
There are.
True. Absolutely.
You know,
but those things should work themselves out naturally and not be forced, I think. Because if something sucks or something's offensive, we as a collective, as society, have a right to, like, I don't know, say something, at least say something about it.
Well,
but if something
I
sucks, isn't it relative? To the individual.
Don't know how to answer that.
Exactly.
Like what sucks to me won't suck to you, or, you know, I mean, you are different, varying, you know, and
right.
So it's all relative
to
the individual.
Right.
I didn't mean to stymie the crew there, but yeah, okay.
No,
wow.
I just think there are consequences for what you say, but on the other hand, if it's just something from television or whatever, how many different cable channels or whatever are there that you can just go watch something else? It's, you know, and that sends a message to advertisers and such, and that's what drives the industry, is the money.
Mm-hmm. All I know is Lao Tzu had these problems.
Meanwhile, June Lockhart turns 96.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. She and Betty White, man, they are two just, wow, just June Lockhart is just amazing. So is Betty White.
She was like the ultimate TV mom. She was Timmy's mom on Lassie, and then she got to be Maureen Robinson.
Yes.
Yep.
And all those in between, you know, I mean, because, and she was in the werewolf movie a long time ago. She was in the werewolf movie. I'm not a werewolf. Am I a werewolf? I might be a werewolf. Look at the mud on my face.
She was young in that. She was young in that one.
Oh, she was so beautiful. Oh, my God. And she's beautiful now. You know, not it didn't change. But, you know, when I first saw, I was like, oh, my God, what a wow. You know?
Yeah. I just thought she was, like, the ultimate TV mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yep, and that the radio actress that was on a few weeks ago. I apologize, I forgot her name, but she is getting in that same Betty White category, if not almost there. I think she is actually at the century mark. If you remember, she, I can't remember the name of the play. I'd have to look at, go back a few weeks to find her. But she had a very varied career, did a lot of the CBS mystery things, but she's still alive.
Wow. It's amazing.
It is indeed.
On that happy note.
Yeah, I'm running out of steam here myself.
So am I.
Yes, kid. It's that time. But,
all right. Well, folks and foci, if I do not run across you again on the radio, internet, airwaves, happiest of holidays to everyone, whatever you do.
Merry Christmas, Gar, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Yes.
To you also.
Always.
Thank you,
sir. You
also. Yes.
Absolutely.
Label it to you all.
And thank you guys for being my friends.
Oh.
Yeehaw!
Shall
we leave it to Gar?
Crime.
Yes. Shall we leave it to Gar tonight to call on Mr. Durante for the
Sure.
It's all up to you, Gar.
What? Huh? What? What? Huh? Oh, yes. Okay.
Turn out the lights on the way out.
Yes. Nice. Time for Mr. Jimmy's Nicole Durante.
Nice. It's time to say
goodnight.
Good night. Au revoir. Play.
What more to say but good night?
Happy holidays.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Country Kwanzaa.
What we the same and inconsequent. Good night.
Happy Yuletide.
Good night. Yep, happy Boxing Day, yes.
Happy Santa Claus Day to everyone.
Happy December 22nd. I have no idea.
And a good night, Mrs. Calabash.
I'm only happy on December 23rd.
Happy Krampus Day.
Ooh.